All right, hockey fans, listen up, because we've got something special cooked up for playoff season. It's called the Daily Faceoff Playoff Parlay Challenge, and it's going to add some serious spice to your playoff experience. Now, here's the deal. Every playoff game, you're going to be faced with a handful of questions. It's like your own personal playoff puzzle, and it's free to join. And there are prizes, because who doesn't love winning stuff? Daily winners, you're getting hooked up with gift cards. Treat yourself to some nation gear or maybe even your favorite jersey. And for the big dogs, the people who can win an entire round, it's straight, cold, hard cash. We're talking about real dough for your hockey knowledge. So lace up those skates, stretch those thumbs, and get ready to show off your hockey IQ in the Daily Faceoff Playoff Parlay Challenge. Sign up today and play every game day at games.dailyfaceoff.com and prove your puck prowess.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
You're listening to Oilers Nation Radio, a member of the Nation Network of podcasts and delivered by DoorDash. 1 hour of straight hockey talk with Dan, Rick, Tyler, and Bag Milk starts now.
Are you guys having fun over there without me?
I'm looking at a pie chart of nationality split from Oilers defensemen all time. And okay. There's a little sliver up there for South Korea.
Who's that?
Alex Plant.
Oh, yes. How could we forget?
How many games did he play for? I'm going to guess four.
No, he played like half a season, didn't he?
Did he?
Shit. It took a while for us to realize he might not be very good.
Who was the other guy they had that was young? Colton Tubert.
I had high hopes for Colton Tubert. He was part of the Dustin Penner trade.
13th overall.
Yep.
Yeah,
good Western League
he
boy.
He played 3-6. Oh, no. He only played 10 games for the Oilers.
That was close.
Plant?
Yeah. Plant.
How many did he play for Oklahoma?
A lot more than that.
More.
Between Oklahoma and Springfield, he played almost 200.
Who were the other over 200. Two first-round picks?
Sam Gagne, and then it was Riley Nash.
Yeah.
Bingo. There you go.
Riley Nash is still in the league, and so is Sam Gagne. They're both still in the league.
Sam Gagne's actually having a good start in Winnipeg, too.
Good for him.
Yeah. Are we sure that's not Brandon Davidson?
Oh, yeah. Someone said they look alike or something like that.
Who's that?
I forget.
It was a TikTok.
There was a TikTok. It was the...
Oh, was that one where they were trying to guess?
Yeah, trying to guess Gagne. Guy's like, the guy who hurt McDavid, Brandon David.
How fucking dare you?
Brandon Davidson so would never.
He would never. He's a gentleman.
Mm-hmm.
All right. Oilers Nation Radio episode, whatever it is. Bag Milk, Rick, Tyler, Dan, and Farmer Liam.
Yes.
Check it in.
Are we getting into this right off the hop?
Yeah, might as well.
Why not?
Liam, this morning we have a Tuesday meeting every week where we kind of bring people from across the company together just to make sure we're all on the same page. Liam checked in from a location on Zoom that I had never seen before, only to find out that he was farming.
I'm a farmer this week.
What do you mean this week?
Yeah, no, why is this like a one-time thing? Is it being filmed?
I'm on a new reality show.
I like it.
So I'm just on this farm. They asked me to come and look after the dogs for a week, and with that,
oh, so you're house sitting.
I'm house sitting, but it's on a farm.
Farm sitting.
He was telling us he's a farmer.
I'm farming.
Did you pick up any eggs today?
I got a lot of eggs today.
Did you milk any cows?
No cow milking.
Did you take the horses for a walk?
Could you milk a cow if you needed to? No way. You'd get kicked in the head.
How do you know? I never thought I could face my fear of chickens. Now look at me.
What do you mean you have fear of chickens?
Have you ever met a chicken face to face?
I have.
They're terrifying.
In fact, I
Why'd you get low enough to go face to face with them?
Well, yeah. I don't get face to face. They get foot to face. But it's just, it's a little much.
What you guys don't know is that Liam was actually selected to be the new host of a new reality show called Dirty Jobs, where he just goes around and does different jobs.
Yeah, I'd watch that. You're the new Mike Rowe.
There's only one episode I got my hands to.
He was a scout before. Now he's a farmer.
Yeah, now I'm a burger reviewer as well. So what chicken nuggets next?
What's your so what's your morning like on this farm? Like, you go get eggs from the chicken?
I go get eggs from the chicken.
What are you like? So what are your duties?
You're sleeping there at night, right?
I sleep there.
So you wake. What time do you get up?
Well,
I think if there's any farmers listening to this, they're not going to like what they're about to hear.
Well, this morning I got up at 8.
Bright and early, as the chickens do.
Yeah, the chickens woke me up at 8. And then I had a shower, did my 8:30 meet-in, and I gradually made my way outside to the chickens.
What time did you get up to the chickens?
I got to the chickens at like
9:30 at least.
9:30, yeah.
Wow.
And the meeting ended.
Those poor chickens.
What's on the task list at the farm? Like, what is Liam wakes up today, Tuesday? I've got XYZ to do.
Apparently, not very much.
Yeah.
I got to go and it's not a big farm. I got to go check the chickens. I got to go get the eggs, make sure the food's good, water's good. Then I got to go check on the horses. One of them has a bandage, so I got to make sure the bandage is okay.
What happens if the bandage isn't okay?
What happened to the horse?
I got to call. I don't know what happened to the horse. If the bandage isn't okay, I got an emergency number I got
to
call.
Oh, so you're not expected to tend to the wound.
No,
so define it's not only okay, though.
It's only a bandage, man. How hard can it be?
It's I don't know.
Horse. Yeah, but no, if you're calm, the horse will be calm. You just stay there and relax. You know, I kind of pet it, take the bandage off, clean it up a little bit, put a new bandage on. How hard can that be?
There's another layer to this. I may have a slight fear of farm animals.
Well, this was a good first episode of your new reality show.
Ah, shit.
So the chickens are one thing, but another time, I've done this many a times. So
Why?
Why not?
Do we have to put more on your plate here at the company?
Because I think feel so. Like
your life is just nonsense for the most part.
So this one time I was looking after them and I had to give the horses hay. So they have this big barn and they were like, just open the door and then just walk out and just throw out the hay.
Yeah, simple.
But I wasn't stealthy enough about it. So I opened this door and I had these three massive horses just staring at me. And I had just this bundle of hay in my hands. And they started eating the hay out of my arms.
That sounds wonderful.
Aww, that's very nice.
I just dropped the hay and I just stepped back and left.
Oh, this is fun.
I came back.
Whose horse is that? So who's Liam's?
Yeah, no, I got these other two dogs. They're good. Daisy and Leo, named after Drysdale and McDavid. Oh. The other dog used to be called Ebby before she passed away after Ebbly. They have cats. They're called Nuge and Halsey.
Oh, okay.
So I'm not sure where they got these names from, but yeah. And the living room is orange for no particular reason.
Well, I do like that you are tending a farm despite being scared of the animals on said farm.
I question who's asking them to do this.
Yeah, good question.
Like, they have to know by now that you're not exactly so confident around them.
I keep my fears to myself.
And our listeners.
Nah, nobody's listening to this anyway. It's fine. All right. Well, there's 6 minutes on what Liam's been up to.
That was just today. Stay tuned for Friday.
Oh, can't wait. Can't wait for another update.
Can we send like a cameraman?
We should send a cameraman. Or like, can you wear a GoPro all day?
Oh, please.
I could.
I would love to watch you try and feed those horses because I set to me in my head, opening the barn doors, there's three horses staring at me with my bundle of hay. That sounds like I'm going to have an experience.
I'm going to feed
them horses and I'm going to bond.
They were bigger than I expected. Like, horses are obviously big, but yeah, they got some size to them.
Yeah.
I like how you say you just put it down and stepped away. I have this sneaking suspicion you kind of dropped it.
Yes.
Yeah, and you and those,
place it.
Yeah, those feet were moving pretty quickly. You were not stepping away. Per se, like you were, you're moving
myself back up a little bit after saying I was scared of some chickens.
So. I noticed you're wearing a reasonably fresh pair of Nikes as well on the show today. Those were not farm attire today, I'm guessing.
I only have one pair of shoes.
Dude,
what do you mean? What do you mean you have one pair of shoes? Well, pair of like regular shoes.
I have two pairs of shoes. Well, I obviously have dress shoes.
Okay, so we're, okay. Yeah, so okay. We're outside okay. The dress shoes. The dress shoes are on their own.
And I got these bad boys, these black Nikes. And then I have a pair of white Adidas.
Okay.
Three pairs of shoes.
Yeah, okay, but I only wear one pair.
But you don't have like a dirty pair of like work shoes that you can wear farming.
Pops if you go for a little hike. Should,
yeah.
Just wear my Nikes.
We're learning so much about Liam now that he's a part of the pod.
Oh, I love that. All right, Tyler.
Okay.
Well, we got some business
shoe
to get to.
For him, though, I think.
100%. We need to get him more than one good shoe. I want to give a shout out to our friends at Oodle Noodle. Of course, they are opening their new location in November down in Calgary. So if you were an Oilers fan, if you're listening to this behind enemy lines, we're going to be feeding you very, very shortly. If you're in Edmonton, you want to order some Oodle Noodle because it's Tuesday and you feel like you've worked enough for the week. Our friends at DoorDash are there to help you. Liam?
Ding dong.
Thank you very much. Tyler, what is our delicious debate today?
What was the most impressive part of the victory last night over the Pittsburgh Penguins?
Oh, you changed on
the spot. Yeah, you changed it.
Yep. That's fine.
Figured it's more appropriate to start with the game last night, though. Okay. So that is your delicious debate. What was the most impressive part of that victory by the Oil?
Well, I'm going to say the response for me was the most impressive part because I'm not going to lie to you. After the first period, I went, well, that was one for you flushed that first period. Nowhere to go but up from there. And the fact that the Oilers responded in the second period with a franchise record 26 shots on net to try and pull themselves back in it. I liked the pushback. I liked that they weren't just folding their cards and laying down. I also like that temporary scary moment when we all thought Connor was going down, the team kind of rallied around it and kind of started going. So
I thought you were going to say that you just liked that moment. You liked the adrenaline.
Listen, I was at the last
PTSD.
One.
PTSD.
Yeah, I have a little PTSD. I was at the last one and that one scared me real good.
You know how confident I was that he was going to be okay? He left the game.
And you went to hockey?
No, I didn't. I did go to my beer league game after the hockey game, but I was at the Oilers game, sitting there. See McDavid go down. I go, you know what? He's going to come back. And I know a tweet saying McDavid's back will do numbers. So I pre-typed out the tweet. I typed out, Connor McDavid is back on the Oilers bench. Close phone. Let it sit there. TV timeout. Pulled out my phone. Watched. Bang, there he is. Send.
You were first, or you were really early on it.
I was first.
Because I know Dan, he was at the game last night too. He sent a picture, but he was way late after you by the time he got there.
Because he didn't pre-type out the tweet. You should have taken a picture of McDavid earlier in the game and just tweeted that one out.
But Dan, your angle isn't as good, is it? Like you're above the bench. No, you're above the bench, right? Tweets. But he's staring at the bench.
Yeah.
If I remember correctly.
I'm behind the bench. So I heard the crowd first before I saw him.
Mm. Anyways, yeah, that was nerve-wracking, but
we'll talk about that.
You're right. They used it as a rallying point, and that's great.
Liam, what do you think?
I just think the fact so many players were able to contribute was really good to see.
I like the way you say that.
I do, too.
Contribute is the way we say it here. Contribute.
He spawned the language. I got to say he's right.
Aluminium.
Aluminium? Vitamins?
Vitamins. Yeah, anyway. So, yeah, just how many people were able to be part of the win, to go out and push us over the top. I think that's something that has been missing from this team all season right now, right?
Yeah, I think it was definitely like the second. It was everybody outside of Connor and Leon that
McDavid didn't have a point.
Well, yeah, no, that's what I mean though, right? Like I was getting frustrated there in the first period after that Crosby goal, even after the Barry goal. I didn't really clap too much. I was still a little frustrated. I was expecting them to play like they did last year. And then they started to come out afterwards. So I'm not going to sit there and pat him on the back too hard. I'm just going to give him like the little head nod and say, you know what? That's kind of what we expect. And, you know, good game and get to the dressing room and let's get on the plane.
Dan, you were at Rogers Place last night. What did you see?
Well, you guys have really nailed it talking about the comeback. But for me, I think it was the Brian Rust goal right before the penalty there by Petrie that I feel like was what triggered the Oilers, because that shot was a nothing shot on the back of Campbell and it went in the net. And after that, it just seemed like this team realized that shooting the puck, good things can happen. And, you know, you saw it from Evander Kane with 8 shots in one period and the rest of the team, you know, followed suit. So, for me, it was just the fact that they started shooting the damn rubber and good things came out of it and came about from it.
I like that, Dan, because I always tweet, shoot from the parking lot, create your own chaos. And I thought last night in the second period, and to a little bit of a lesser extent in the third, the Oilers were doing that. They were ripping shots on net. Jari, to a point, stood on his head and was kind of keeping it with keeping Pittsburgh in the lead, but then the dam kind of broke.
But it was so much more than just shooting the puck. It's like they were playing on their toes. They were playing.
They were advancing.
They were advancing. Everything was going forward. It wasn't about playing flat foot. It wasn't about playing on your heels. It was about being on your toes and playing forward. And they started doing that, which led to the shots, which led to the goals.
They weren't playing the game where they were getting cute, I thought, where they're taking a bunch of shots, but they had guys going to the net. They had guys going for rebounds. And like the Nuge one from right and tight outside the goal mouth, there was the Tyson Barry goal that took a couple of lucky bounces.
You need that sometimes.
Sometimes you need those bounces, and that comes from when you're trying to play a game that's not too cute. It's not always the perfect two-on-one passing play or whatever it is. Last night, the Oilers were getting greasy, and they got rewarded for it.
But I said this last week. I think I said it on Friday on the podcast. Maybe it was last Tuesday. I don't forget. That when we give up these too many goals a couple games in a row, then they started to tighten it up. And then you see the offensive outburst, right? So I got a little ahead of myself there last game. The really tight game that they played well defensively and was just defensive was St. Louis, right? Like there was offense was a secondary thought. They weren't pushing the river there. They played a very strong defensive game, which I think gives them that confidence going to their next game when we can do this. We can play like this properly. And then it really elevates their offense from there.
What do you make of that?
There was a bunch of things that really stood out to me. One, it was the way when Connor went down, Leon kind of just like, you know, cracked his knuckles and was like, I got this.
Fine, I'll do it.
Yeah, I got it. This one's on me. And he went and he held up his end of the bargain.
His goal
up three
was a
points.
Beauty.
Beauty. Sick. Like I said, I was at the game and Nuge scored to make it a one goal game or tie the game at that point. Yep. And I was like, well, 90 seconds left. I'm going to go take a piss. And
you missed the dry side of goal.
So I'm upset about that. But Draisaitl was outstanding. And also, I thought Evan Bouchard had his best game of the season.
I think they all did.
I think a lot of Oilers did, but Bouchard specifically, like the pass to Zach Hyman.
First goal?
Yeah, there's no defenseman on this team other than Bouchard's capable of making a pass like that. Like splitting Malkin's legs and putting it right on Hyman's tape in stride was just spectacular.
And that wasn't lucky. Like he took a look back before he got to the puck. He knew what he was doing.
Mm-hmm. And that game as a whole was kind of from a Bouchard only perspective. Like that's what makes him so exciting as a young player, right? Is like, man, when he's on, the way he can command the game from the blue line, the way he creates offensive chances and all of that is just, it's so impressive. And it's an elite skill that he has. And yeah, he's got to clean it up in his own end and that'll come with time. He's only 22. He hasn't even played
52.
He hasn't even played 150 games in the NHL yet. Mm-hmm. Right? That's correct.
This time around.
But he'll all that other stuff will come is my point. And last night I thought the offensive side of his game was just outstanding.
Another thing I want to ask you guys about, six games with a PK goal allowed by the Oilers. What do you see in like the first one is the one that went in last night. Mm-hmm. They were solid for the other four chances. So one for
and
five
one of those is 4 minute as well.
Oh yeah.
The Oilers was four.
Yeah. The old Darryl clipped him a little bit there. But what do you make of the PK so far? Is this just early season rust? What are you seeing?
Everything before the second period last night was just a weird start, a passive start to the season. I want to see what happens from that second period on. And at that point, I think everything has looked good so far.
Liam, you're a head scout. What do you see in the PK right now?
It doesn't seem to be in sync. Like they don't seem to be like playing together as a unit. Like, there was that goal against Carolina where they literally just burst through and just stood there. It's like, what are you doing? And even on that first goal, who was it who scored the first goal? Raquel?
Yeah.
On the power play, it's like Devin Shaw kind of comes over to go and get him. Then he moves, and then the defenseman doesn't know what he's supposed to do. And it's like, they just don't really seem to know.
And that was that shot that went over the glove, right? That was that shot was very hard to stop.
It's a hell of a shot.
Very hard to stop that one.
But if he's put under pressure by the right guy, he's probably not going to get that.
He doesn't get to move.
He had a lot of time and space.
Yeah, and that's the thing. It's just kind of stupid errors, which luckily we're only, six games into the season, so we've got a lot of time to work on it. But I think just getting in sync on the penalty kill is what the Oilers need to accomplish. Like the power play just clicks every time, right?
So and they're starting to make some new guys in there in that regard as well, right? Like Tyson Barry's killing penalties and he never really killed penalties in the past. A guy like Ryan McLeod is still pretty young into his NHL career. He's learning how to kill penalties. I'm looking last game, Evan Bouchard. Fogle. Yeah. Fogle's one of them as well. You're right. Evan Bouchard killed 251 on the PK. Like, he's a guy who doesn't do that a lot. So I'm willing to give them a little bit of leeway here. Also, every player on the team except Puljujarvi had at least a second of PK time yesterday. So they're trying to mix in a lot of guys, and I think that's giving them... There's just maybe some growing pains with that, so I'm fine with it early in the year.
Are you able to see how many PK minutes Puljujarvi's played? Like, does he never... I feel like I've seen him on the PK.
Never.
Never?
Never.
Weird.
I don't think they like... I don't think they're confident in, with him playing his position while the other team has the puck and moving it around the perimeter. Puck battles, I think he's probably one of your best ones on the team, especially in the other end. Long stick, dude, that's got to be a good thing, right? Flubs the puck sometimes, so maybe that's going to affect some of your dump outs. But I just think they're not fully comfortable with how he plays the system when the other team has the puck in his own in our end.
Which is interesting considering literally every other player is playing. It's clear that they're experimenting on a lot of things. So
well, if you look at it, if you look at it, a lot of the top end guys, you're not worried about that. And a lot of the bottom end guys are the guys that you're kind of expecting to do that anyways. And right now, Puljujärvi is kind of somewhere floating in the middle. Doesn't really have a spot right now. Doesn't really have whether he's offense or defensive or exactly what he is. He's kind of like, he's spinning his tires right now. It's frustrating to watch.
He actually got demoted last night.
He got flung around everywhere.
How many power play minutes did he play? Did he play?
No,
he
got a little bit of the second PP, probably the last one of the game.
Interesting.
Yeah, he got 39 seconds. Overall, played 11:23 last night.
He did leave the ice, though. He did leave the ice. So it was after Connor. He was taking a couple of strides. I was watching him. He looked back at, I can't remember his right foot. He took about three strides, and each time that one leg really wasn't there. So I don't know if it was the leg or if it was the skate, because he went right off the ice and was gone for a little bit. Hmm.
Can I go on a rant?
Sure.
There's something driving me a little crazy right now on the old Oilers Twitter sphere.
Do you need help from a farmer?
Not quite. Okay. Maybe.
Maybe later.
Yeah.
I'll stay locked in.
So
excellent.
Jesse Puljujärvi and Kailer Yamamoto are both struggling to find the back of the net right now. I think that's fair. They're both getting minutes in the top six, and they're both kind of failing to convert on their chances. Yamamoto is stumbling over his feet when he gets the puck at times. Puljujärvi is doing the same thing. It's just neither of them are fully in rhythm. Yep. But now there is the crowd of people on Twitter who are using Yamamoto as like a scapegoat for why Puljujarvi's struggles are okay.
It was also Nuge before that.
But every time now Yamamoto misses a chance, you go on Twitter and someone's tweeting the joke that they think is so fucking funny. Oh, Yamamoto's got to bury those chances if he's going to stay in the top six. Because that's what people would say about Puljujarvi. And it's like, just because there is a section of media/fans who appear to be anti-Puljujarvi to some extent, that does not mean, and it is not productive at all, to then try to counterbalance it by being overly anti-Yamamoto. Like, they're both young forwards. They're both going to be a little inconsistent at this stage in their career. Yamamoto does great, and that's the other thing that drives me nuts. When Puljujarvi isn't scoring, the people who are diehard Puljujarvi supporters will sit there and be like, well, look what he does away from the puck. He's so good in the D zone. He's getting to those areas. Blah, 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 blah. List goes on and on. And with Yamamoto now, it's like, oh, he can't score. You got to pull. Look at the numbers. He's never good with McDavid. He's never good with Draisaitl. Blah, 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 blah. Okay, he forechecks like a demon. He creates turnovers, and he creates space for those guys. If you're going to sit there and be pissed off because there's a certain section, again, of fans and media who are always dumping on Puljujarvi, how do you think it's okay to then sit there and shit on Kailer Yamamoto, who's had a bad 4.5 games or 5 games to start the season? Jesus.
So had everybody before the second period yesterday.
Yeah, there's also 4-5-on-5. It's just weird to me. There's a lot of people that it almost seems like metaphorically they're drowning with their stance and they're trying to look at anybody else around them to pull them down with them. Yeah. I don't get it at all. It's like I said before.
It's a need to be right.
Yes. Before the sights got turned on Yamo, there was also a lot of the same kind of talk about Ryan Nugent Hopkins, and then what happens? All of a sudden, my boy rips up 7 points in 4 games and goes, oh, well, I can't shit on Nuge anymore. Well, now we need to look for another target. There was Evander Kane in there, because in the first couple of games, he was kind of missing some chances. We're like, whoa, Kane. I saw somebody comparing him to Cassian yesterday.
It was actually a funny line I saw where they were like, I thought the Oilers traded Cassian. Turns out he just changed his jersey number. Like, I thought that was funny, even though it's not true.
Good joke, but like,
terrible.
Come on. You know what I mean? Like, you can't just further your point by grabbing somebody and trying to pull them down. It doesn't work that way. And I'm a Puljujärvi fan. I just, what drives me nuts is the hyperbole on both sides of the argument. It's crazy at this point. I think he's a good player. He's a productive player. I'd have him on my team any day, but he is not Connor McDavid.
No.
And he is not, you know, fucking whatever.
Well, and that's, I mean, yeah, it's, I'm sad that I'm not in the room too, because I feel like we could just be bouncing back and forth off of each other on this one. But yeah, Tyler, you said it right. And it's, and it comes from the casual little shots that everybody takes at our own team. And it just, it boggles the mind when we're all sitting here as Oiler fans yelling at each other about Oilers players that, like, why don't we want both Jesse Puljujärvi and Kyler Yamamoto to succeed at the same
we
time?
Should.
How cool would that be? Mm-hmm. So it just, it's, that's the part where, yeah, like you said, Tyler, it's just, it's infuriating. And Bag Milk, you said it best when it's, you know, both sides are just, and Rick, you said it too, both sides are just trying to be right. And who cares? As long as the Edmonton Oilers are winning hockey games, thanks to the performance of both Kyler Yamamoto and Jesse Puljujärvi.
But he is going to have to be a better player against St. Louis, because I do watch a lot when he's on the ice. And there were a couple of plays in the first period where he's able to break up forechecks or whatever. He's effective.
Yep.
But after that, he was a little bit bit lost. And I just think that we need to leave that third line. I want the coaching staff to leave that third line together and allow them to really find their way.
Well, and I just also think that you saying he needs to be better is appropriate. It's not he's awful or he's the best at this. It's,
no, and I mean, I know everybody claims to be the biggest fan or whatever. Like, I'm a pretty big fan of the kid. And, you know, I've whatever. You know my story. Anyways. It doesn't mean you're always right, right? So he can't always be the greatest player. He did not have a great game last night. He's got to be better.
Liam, you want to say
something? But here's the thing too, Rick. It's, you know, we're talking about how great the performance was from this team. This team needs to be better in that first period. And it's not, you know, not any one player that let that Pittsburgh Penguins team.
No, but he was just spinning his tires. He was spinning his tires last night. Even when he gets out there, he was not having successful shifts. He got a couple of power plays there. He dumped the puck along the wall. Didn't get it behind the net. It went to the defenseman. They cleared it out. It was, you just got to be better.
Yeah, I just think, I thought, again,
the arguments on Twitter are ridiculous.
Yeah. And I think sometimes there's a lot of it where people only watch / pay attention to the Edmonton Oilers. And that's fine, right? Like, they're your team, all of that. But then they make these insane statements and, oh, Yamamoto hasn't scored in 4 games. Guess what? A 20-goal scorer, which is good in the NHL. If you have a 20-goal scorer in your lineup, in your top 9, that's, like, really good.
Do the math.
Yeah. That means they score once.
Can we get some of your Rabchuk math?
Once every 4 games. Think about a player, a 20-goal guy, who he's probably good one or two multi-goal games a year. That means there's going to be 8-game stretches where he doesn't score. Like, this shit happens. A 20-goal scorer scores once every 4 games on average.
And a lot of secondary scorers are streaky scorers. That's why they're secondary, which means they're going to go through highs and lows. And that's just what happens. Unfortunately, we started the year as every secondary guy went through the same lull at the same time.
But now you're starting to see some of them heat up. Hyman's got 2 goals in 6 games now. That's almost a 30-goal pace. Nugent Hopkins has 3 goals in 6 games. That's a 40-goal pace. Evander Kane, 2 goals in 6 games. That's a 30-goal pace, right? Like, you're starting to see these guys again. That's great. It's a great point, Rick. Like, they're streaky scores.
That's what they are, though.
They're going to go through 10-game stretches where they score 7 goals. They're going to go through 10-game stretches where they score 6 goals. Or, sorry, where they score 1 goal. And, like, that's just the way it is.
But I was sitting there after the first period, and I was going, you know what? Like, it's about time for a lot of these bottom level guys to start getting their first point of the year. And it was about time for the middle guys to start getting, you know, their second and third point. And in the second period, all that stuff took off.
Looking at guys that are still off the board, looking for their first point of the year: Jesse, Devin Shore, Warren Fogel, Marcus Niemelainen, and Dylan Holloway.
And he has had another one in front of the net, man. That guy's got at least one, and they call them grade A chances, but it's a little bit fuzzy though, because he's like standing on the crease, the goalie's right in front of him. I get where you're saying it's a grade A chance, but it's also really tough to score that one because the goalie is so damn close.
Yes,
I will. Right, you got to keep going, and they will start going in. You just got to keep going. He's got to keep that confidence up.
The way I look at it is kind of like Evander Kane, in the sense where it's just he was getting chances. You know they're going to go in, and now they are.
The Carolina game when the guy had like 3 tries and he couldn't get him one.
Yeah, it's just like way she goes sometimes, you know.
Yeah, you'll figure it out.
Way she goes sometimes.
But I do think the team cracks something in that second period, and I am fully expecting to see that roster, that type of game tomorrow night.
There's moments in every year that just change the season
all the time. We go through four or five games of letting all these damn goals and all these PK goals. It's ridiculous. It's frustrating. And then we start to tighten it down. We have no offense, but we're not letting up a lot defensively. And then all of a sudden we get it all going at once and we pop up a bunch of goals.
What was it last year? Did we lose 12 in a row?
11.
It was 2-11 and 2.
And then we went to the Western Conference Finals, yep. Right? Okay.
Could you imagine the Oilers started the season at 2-11-2? Just the meltdown that'd be happening?
Yeah, I wouldn't recommend that.
Nope.
You know.
Ask Canucks fans.
Yes.
One.
They are what, 0-7 right now?
They're not even that good.
Are they 0-7?
Do you know, actually, just a quick thing on that. I said jokingly, and now it's kind of coming true a little bit, that Bedard would go to Vancouver.
Yeah, I saw Waz say something about that too. Like, I really hope you guys, like, stop that. No, you don't. I hope this kid ends up in, like,
Philly.
Yeah, I'm just trying to find something that's insignificant.
Yeah, Philly's fine.
Yeah, you can go hang out with Frank.
You can go hang out with Frank.
Very good.
But yeah, I mean, the hockey. Oh, sorry, go ahead, Dan.
I was just going to say, before we get away from the game too far, I also just want to say, and I don't know about Rick and Tyler with you guys being in the building, your experience, but Penguins fans need to chill the hell out.
I saw a jersey toss last night.
Yeah, that's our thing.
Well, that was the tip of the iceberg. These guys, like, I just want Penguin fans that are listening to this podcast, which I'm sure is zero, mm-hmm. to understand that things are going to get way worse before they get better for you guys. Like, it just...
Well, what's going on? Give me some context. I saw the jersey toss.
That's not about the jersey anymore. Like, it's about the person doing that. He wants his buddies to think he's cool. It's so stupid. I found it stupid.
You know what's real cool is throwing a $300 jersey on the ice.
If I was running the arena and a home team fan did that and I had his name, I would definitely ban him.
Your team is 4-1-1, by the way.
Yeah.
They've won some championships recently, and man, were they mad. Like, I don't know. It just, for me, it's, you know, when you've had as much success as a Penguins fan that you've had, and you're acting like that, and throwing the jersey is just the tip of the iceberg. I don't want to go into everything that I heard and experienced outside of the arena last night.
Why not?
But just chill out.
If you're going to have a jersey toss, you better be looking like Vancouver is, because they had four hit the ice the other night.
So stupid.
Let it rain jerseys.
And then someone burnt one in the oven, right? Was that an oven?
Yeah. Well,
I don't know. Yes. Barbecue.
Barbecue?
Yeah.
Oh, good for them.
Even worse. And they added the owner with that tweet. So you know they meant business.
That kind of ties into word association. Do we want to do that?
One sec.
Oh, okay.
One sec.
I'm just so excited.
I know you are. I got to give a shout out to, we're talking about lighting things on fire, and that just reminds me of my friends at Cornerstone Insurance. You know, you never know what life can throw at you. Sometimes it's a jersey. Sometimes it's a major issue. My friends at Cornerstone are going to be there to help you regardless of what comes your way. Auto, residential, commercial, life insurance. They've got it all at cornerstoneins.ca. Cornerstoneins.ca. Go make sure that you've got some protection on your house, your person, your whip, whatever you need. Now, Tyler, you may do some word association.
You mean now we may pause for an ad?
All right.
Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. How to get 30, 30, how to get 30, how to get 20, 20, 20, how to get 20, 20, how to get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month? Sold!
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Yeah.
Word Association time, brought to you by our friends at Canada Snowboard's upcoming event, FIS Snowboard Big Air World Cup, presented by Toyota. Coming to Edmonton on December 10th, Bagged Milk and I will be there, and you can be too if you head to Ticketmaster and get your tickets. Shout out to Explore Edmonton as well, a major partner in this event and a major reason why Edmonton gets as many cool events as they do. FIS Snowboard Big Air World Cup, presented by Toyota. December 10th, Commonwealth Stadium. Be there.
Be there.
I like how you're... Your ad read was very sing-songy. It went kind of like, go to yeah, the thing and a gun. And
That took a nice turn. I liked it.
It was very rhythmic.
Keeping up the energy.
I like it.
Word association. You know the rules because we've played it once before. But if you're listening and forget the rules, everyone gets to say one word, the first word that pops into their mind when I say the phrase. Oh. Yeah, that's all.
What's the order?
Okay. We're going to go Liam, Dan, Bagged Milk, Rick. Liam, Dan, Bagged Milk, Rick, then me. All right?
Okay.
All right, you ready? First one, Drysdale's performance against Pittsburgh.
Awesome.
Gutsy.
Meh. No, it's fantastic.
Leader.
Electric.
Wow. Wow.
Seeing Connor McDavid go down.
Ah.
Dan?
Gut-wrenching with a dash.
PTSD.
Terrifying.
It's just a sound effect game now.
Who spells these out?
Yeah.
Jersey tossers.
Losers.
Moron.
Dumb.
Stupid.
Tired.
What's like the that. Wired version then?
Just keeping your jersey waffle. On. this one got great play on our Instagram account when we posted about it the other day after our last episode. So we're going to add into word association one word for this photo of draft day Mike Smith.
Handsome.
Surfboard.
Rock star.
2003.
That's a good one, Rick. I'm just going to say weird.
That was a time. Look at that. That's just a time. That's just a time in our lives.
I can picture my grad class looking at that photo.
And finally, the last one I will throw your way. This photo of young Connor McDavid wearing an Edmonton, Canada polo in grade 3. Liam?
Destiny, I suppose.
Serendipity.
Fate. Mm.
Perfect.
Adorable.
It is adorable. I want one of those shirts too. I just wanted an Edmonton, Canada shirt. It's so random. Like, where do you even buy that?
It reminds me of my school pictures in England when I used to have to wear like shirts like that. Maybe he's English.
Oh, you had a uniform, eh?
I don't think Connor McDavid's English.
You never know.
Anyways, that's a wrap. Those are your five for word association for the week. The segment that will just keep building momentum.
Yep. Doesn't get better than that.
No.
Wow. I want to talk. Another thing I want to talk about is I am going down to Calgary on the weekend. Tyler might be.
If someone is looking for my Arkell or for Arkell's floor seats, I've dropped the price to $200 because that is how much money I will need to buy floor seats in Calgary so I can also go to the BOA.
The point I'm getting at here is we've got, courtesy of our friends at ATB, we've got an allotment of tickets that we are going to give away to Oilers fans that are down in Calgary.
I was going to say, I was kind of worried about just the three of you guys going. I feel like we need to travel in larger numbers.
Yes. Thankfully, we've got these tickets that we're going to give away. So what's going to happen is we are going to announce a pregame location the day of in Calgary on Saturday. The first X number of people, I don't even know how many tickets we got, that show up, we are going to give you tickets to come with us to the game. It's going to be an old school radio giveaway.
I take it, man. I'm trying to think if I know anybody that lives in Calgary.
So if you live in Calgary, you're going to want to keep your eye on our socials. You're going to turn those tweet notifications on because you're going to want to know where we're going. You'll get some free entry into the horrible, horrible Saddle Dome. Bring your hard hats just in case.
I was going to say, do you have some sort of safety?
Yeah, I think I'm just going to go in full old hockey equipment. Mm-hmm. Mouth guard and everything. I'm very nervous about going in there.
Yep.
Roof may fall on me. So again, pay attention to our socials. You could be coming with us to the BOA if you live in Calgary, or if you can just get down to Calgary, if you want to do a little, you know, a little gambling on where we're going to end up. Liam, you got something to say?
I'm good.
You sleepy?
Those farm days.
Farm life. I get it. Looking ahead at the Oilers road trip they've got coming up, St. Louis, Chicago, Calgary. Then they're back home on November 1st against Nashville. So I just want to ask real quick, what are you guys expecting round two against St. Louis? We just saw them on Saturday, arguably one of the most painfully boring games that I've witnessed in quite some time. Your thoughts on round two in St. Louis this time?
I expect to win. Like, I know it was frustrating that Saturday game, but I think there's a lot of St. Louis fans out there who are frustrated with their game as well. We stifled, we one goal, 22 shots, I think it was, in a game. They took care of their own end, and we didn't give up a lot of opportunities. So, yeah, I expect that with some of the offensive last night. And what do we say? I think we did this on Friday where I said 7 points out of 10. So, I expect a two there.
Tyler, what do you expect round two against St. Louis?
I expect the offense to break through. I think this is an Oilers team that's just too deep and too talented to get shut down in two straight games by the same team kind of thing. I know there's the Pittsburgh game in the middle, but I don't think Pittsburgh can hold you off the score sheet in back-to-back games. I expect the offense to get going.
Yeah.
Liam?
Yeah, kind of just the same. Just take it to them, I guess. Like, play your game now. Don't let them dictate the game.
Mm-hmm. Yes. I would say, Dan, before I get to you, they got to be a little bit, again, get greasier. Like we saw last night. Take your shots, but make sure that they're worth it. Somebody's crashing to the net, getting right in front, going to clean up the garbage. That's how you're going to beat a team like St. Louis. You're not going to beat them with pretty passing plays off the rush. You might score one or two, maybe.
You got to play on your toes. You got to be aggressive out there. You can't be passive.
Yep. Dan, what are you thinking for tomorrow's rematch against St. Louis?
I just think it's a good opportunity for Woodcroft to, I feel like he's probably salivating at the thought of being able to play two teams, you know, in St. Louis and in Calgary that are teams that we've just lost to, you know, and been beaten by. And so, you know, he's got an opportunity for this team to come back and get a little revenge and you know, like you guys said, break through. So I think that, I hope that the team is excited about this opportunity to be able to come out and right a wrong that you allowed to happen in your own barn in both cases. And now you get to go into theirs and do the same. So, yeah, I'm hoping that this Pittsburgh effort in two and three periods is going to carry over into St. Louis, Chicago, and Calgary.
It is pretty impressive that, I mean, I know there are concerns with this team and they were 2-3 heading into last night below 500, but if you take out empty netters, they haven't lost a game by more than a goal, right? Like every game they've lost has been the one goal lost to Calgary, two goals with an empty netter against Buffalo, two goals with an empty netter against St. Louis. Like the games they've lost, they've been in, even though they haven't played well. And I think that's actually a kind of an encouraging sign.
It is. I know it's been frustrating. I get it, right? So everybody turns and goes negative, and the worst, there's no effort, blah, 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 all the bullshit is. They haven't been too far out of it. Their offense hasn't been there. They couldn't get any help from anybody outside of, you know, the big two and Hyman. You know, Nurse has done it. I think he's done enough offensively so far.
He's been solid.
Yeah. So, yeah, no, the rest of the team was just needed them to pick it up, and they started it last night, and there's no reason why to expect that they would stop right now.
I think that also the Chicago game that's coming up on Thursday, back-to-back this week, is just as important as the St. Louis game because Chicago, to me, is a team that the Oilers need to beat more often than not.
Ooh, yeah.
And they cannot look past that game at all. I know that we're looking past St. Louis first, but hey, we're not playing. I look at the Chicago game as a must-win as well. You cannot come out of that back-to-back set losing to Chicago.
I think all three of these games are must-wins, and I know that's kind of jumping the gun too.
Yeah, we're using must-win way too early here.
If do or die kind of thing, but like just get some consistency on winning games now. Like get in the rhythm of like having that feeling again, and then when you do lose a game,
you get yourself on a run.
Yeah, if you lose against a bad team like Chicago or whoever it is, like further down the line, like doesn't matter as much.
But we can also get goalie too, right? Like the Buffalo game was 48 shots. Like come on, I just want to see them play forward like they were last night. Play on your toes, be aggressive, be proactive, be the first one there, and just try and play your game as opposed to responding to the other team.
What's that thing Bob McKenzie said? Nothing matters in October
until the Christmas, until the American Thanksgiving.
American Thanksgiving is like when the playoff cut line. Like if your team's in shit.
Well, there's a certain percentage at that point, but yeah, you kind of give it the team 10, 15 games before you get over the
worried. When's Thanksgiving?
Coming up in November.
2 weeks, 3 weeks.
November, okay. I'm just trying to figure out how many games they have until then.
About 3 weeks, I think.
Okay. It's going to be 10 to 15 games.
Just tell the Canucks fans not to care about their first games.
Well,
I watched like third period last night, and the intermission was like no optimism at all about what was going to happen. And then they came out and scored two goals in 2 minutes, and one of them was a blatant kick. Did you guys see it?
No.
Yeah, but he doesn't.
I just the kick rule is just so stupid.
It's arbitrary.
Get rid of it. Like yeah. It's so complicated.
As long as your skates on the ice, it should count.
I mean, that's what it was though. I think his skate stayed on the ice the whole time. So he twisted his foot, but he twisted his foot into like a forward trajectory, but he didn't make a kicking motion. That's kicking motion though. That's honestly, I don't mind it. I know it's frustrating, but it's a kicking motion. If your foot goes forward and like even to like a little pass, Derek Coleman or whatever, Blake Coleman, like if your foot's moving forward like that, it's like,
well,
it's
he's
a kick.
Cheater.
It's a kick, though.
Every other goal.
Everyone knows that.
It's a kick. You can twist. Like, if you keep your toe down and spin your heel, I think you might get away with something. But if your foot goes, it's like a check swing in baseball.
Yeah.
Like, if you cross that certain line, it's a kick.
I just think that if your skate's on the ice.
It's frustrating, but I
don't care how it goes in.
I don't either.
Like, I think you don't want guys bicycle kicking to try and get goals in because you don't need a decapitation on Hockey Night in Canada. But ultimately, if you kick a puck in when your skate's on the ice, why does that not count?
As someone who's played soccer their entire lives, I've kicked a ball by literally changing the direction of my foot and not doing a swinging motion. So it's a kick.
Is it a kick or is it redirection though?
It's a kick. I kicked the ball.
You redirected it into that direction.
We can't get
it. They both count. They both count, in my opinion. Tyler, final rule.
I think as long as your skate's on the ice, it should count.
I agree.
I think use whatever you can to create more goals.
Therefore, you'd say and I believe Coleman's skate was on the ice, no?
But he kicked it.
Oh, but he's a cheater.
But if we, you know, where are we saying that to go? Because I think if you're stopping, you can use that one foot.
That should have been a goal.
To extend, but that's a kick though.
It should have been a goal.
I'm not arguing about if the calls are or aren't correct. I'm saying what the rule should be going forward.
Oh, that's fine. If you want to redo the rules, that's different.
It's a hard rule to debate because the rule's so inconclusive.
So are you guys all in favor of just saying all kicks count? Maybe kicks on the ice.
Blade is on the ice.
Yes.
Because you stick, yeah.
Your blade.
Can you kick if they're in?
You can redirect.
Yep. We can redirect.
You can whack pucks in.
But if you're like,
so what?
I don't know.
Well, you can.
I think you should be able to whack pucks in.
As long as it's not over the crossbar.
I was going to say, yep.
And as long as you have your hand on your stick, I think that you should be able to redirect as all heck as you want.
I don't
know. More goals.
We're getting more goals this way. I'm a little more old school in this, so I do not want to see any rules change.
I would put
like
the puck in my pants and just skate it into the net.
Remember when that happened to Mike
Schmidt?
Shit
about me. Yeah. Yeah, unstoppable.
Just put it in your glove and kick your glove in.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Final thoughts, Liam?
I'm good.
Excellent. You'll be better if you went to Twig and Berries. Use the Nation 15 as your promo code. Got a little discount on your order.
Nice.
I think you'd look really handsome in an ODR hoodie, if I'm being honest.
Thank you.
You're welcome. Tyler, thoughts?
You know what I kind of want to do for one of these two road games?
Go for it.
I might do a live watch along. Like, I'll go live on our YouTube for like the whole game and just sit there and talk to people.
Yeah, you could do that.
I might.
But then you just got to be aware that you're also on camera for 3 hours. So all those times that you enjoy picking your nose.
I have been biting my fingers a lot because I'm very nervous, but...
What are you nervous about?
I don't know. Just life.
Have you tried eating bananas?
No.
Yeah, you need a little potassium.
But I think that might be fun.
It would be fun.
I'll take breaks here and there.
I think people would enjoy that.
Yeah. Anyways, send me a tweet if you think I should do a watch party for either or a live watch along for St. Louis or Chicago. Might be a good time. I'll bring people on.
Yeah.
You should do the Chicago one just in case St. Louis is a snooze.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking too, is like the Chicago one has better potential to be more fun.
They're so boring.
The Hawks?
So boring.
Game of a back to back.
No, St. Louis.
Oh yeah, they suck.
St. Louis is so boring. Like I get how that game's effective. Like you play that style and it works, but like fuck, is it boring? Like if you're a Blues fan and you have to watch that for 82 games a night or season.
It must not always be like that. Like I think the Oilers are able to like stifle.
They still have Tarasenko.
They've got
it's not
talent.
Minnesota Wild.
They've got talent out there.
They just look so much
old
like
Minnesota.
They just
not
look
new
like the old Minnesota Wild to me. Like the way they clog up the neutral zone and like line up across the blue line. It drives me crazy. I hate that.
They had that one goal lead already.
Yeah.
Get out ahead of them and they'll change our style a bit.
Well, they have to.
Especially because we couldn't do a damn thing offensively.
Well, yeah, nothing. Zero. Score prediction for tomorrow, Tyler?
4-2.
How dare you?
Yeah.
4-2 for me.
5-3 Edmonton.
Dan?
I'm going to say 3-2 St. Louis in overtime.
How dare you? Liam?
3-1 Oilers.
Good for you.
I like it.
Good in you.
Yep.
You know, I like how you kept the defensive numbers down there.
Yep. Yeah.
Jack Campbell's been good.
Let's talk about Jack Campbell.
Good. He's been good all year.
Yep.
We've given up too many goals, but these are like, I get it goes past the goaltender, but it's as a team. Like,
I want to ask you guys a question because I asked it on the BCast last night and I thought the answers from Nation Citizens were interesting. Jack Campbell, to my opinion, has done a really good job of just kind of shutting the door when it really needs to happen. Like, obviously you don't want to give up goals, all that shit. I get it. But like after the third one last night, nothing was getting past him. Nothing. The Oilers were able to fight back. And I think a big part of it is because Jack Campbell gave him the foundation to do so. So my question for you guys now, we had 3 years of Mike Smith and Mikko Koskinen. The Oilers were up by a goal in the third period, somewhere in there, 2 goals. Are you comfortable with Jack Campbell back there as your goaltender, or are you still kind of, well, something's going to go in, something's going to go wrong because of what we've had for the last 3 years?
No, I'm comfortable. You got to move on from the player. You got to let that go. But the thing is, the difference is we haven't seen the bad goal. Period. There hasn't been a bad goal.
Hasn't been like a real.
Well, that's what I mean. Yeah, like where you're like, oh, like where Twitter goes out and says, oh, Mikko in his glove or Smith and whatever.
Like last night, I imagine he'd probably want the Rust goal back just because he's sliding just a bad back.
Bounce.
Like, he's sliding back in a position. He banks it off. I imagine if you ask Jack Campbell, he probably wants that one back, but it wasn't egregious by any means.
No, it's just an unlucky goal. That's whatever. It's a bouncer. But we haven't seen that bad goal. You haven't seen that stupid one in Calgary that just came from, you know, like the other end of the ice or... We haven't seen a bad goal yet.
We haven't seen like a weak wrister from the top of the circle. Yeah. Like, times he's been beaten from the top of the circle. It's like JT Miller and Evgeny Svechnikov ripping at home. Like, yeah. His save percentages so far, 917, 636, 900, 952, 914. We said that we just needed a guy who's going to be consistently in the 910 to 920 range.
And last night?
Last night I think was a great example of what Jack Campbell's going to be.
What's his season average right now?
895. Well,
that's
895. But that Calgary one, so is it?
Yeah, I mean, 895, it is what it is. We have not been good defensively.
What I will say is 895 is basically what Mikko and Mike Smith finished the year at last year. You know what I mean? So, Liam, what do you think? Are you comfortable with Jack Campbell back there? Because I am.
Yeah, I think he's made the saves at big times too. Like
big saves too.
We mentioned it the other day. The CC one at the end of the Carolina game. Like, who knows what's going to happen if someone else is in goal for that. And I think one thing as well, like, we keep saying these numbers, like, what does he make? Makes $5 million a year, which is literally the league average for a goaltender. We need an average goaltender, and that's exactly what he's basically.
That CC one, that still annoys me because everyone gives the giveaway to CC, but the way he got the puck was terrible. Like, it was a broken play from the very beginning, but it goes off CC's stick at the very end, so everyone's like, oh, the CC giveaway. It was a grenade coming to him. There was very little they could do.
Yeah. And what was the was it Jordan Kyrou we robbed against St. Louis?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Right in front. Yeah. Like, he's making massive saves. And it was funny. Like, Smith would obviously make those big saves too, but sometimes they were just bigger than they actually were. Like, this guy is making big saves and he's just like swallowing it.
But there's no flailing of the limbs.
Yeah.
But then there's like the big save. He's not making the big save to make up for the weak wrister he let in already.
And Smith would make big saves look borderline miraculous because of the way he would like slide into position after like flail to get it. Jack Campbell just makes big saves.
Because he was there already.
Mm-hmm. Dan, what do you think? Soup season?
I mean, for me, I think... Personally, I've shifted away from wanting any kind of save percentage for Campbell. I just expect to have 3 goals or less against every night. And this team offensively should be able to put up 3 goals any night, on any given night. And so to me, that's the recipe for winning. And Jack Campbell does that just because situationally, we're seeing it more and more. I think that as the game gets tighter and as the Oilers start to play in front of him, he rises to the occasion as well. And that's all you need from a goalie with a team as offensively gifted as this team should be. So yeah, for me, it's that 3 goals against number. And more often than not, he's hitting that. So that's what you want.
Do you think that because of him or because of the defense in front of him?
I think that early on in games, it's been a team issue wholeheartedly, not any one person that you can point at and say. I mean, you look at that Penguins game, and that first period was just, again, handling a grenade in their own zone, passing the puck to Penguins players on their tape. It was frustrating to see. And, you know, as a goalie, that's got to be hard to kind of calibrate around. And we used to see the first shot go in. Now we're not seeing that, but we are seeing some goals go in early. And that's just, to me, the way this team is built.
I wonder if the defensemen are kind of like, they make a mistake and they're expecting to get screamed at. And then there's Jack Campbell giving a little pat on the bum and like, hey, nice job. You'll get him next time. Like, what the fuck just happened?
I put out the tweet. You got to play like you have Mike Smith behind you and you're going to get yelled at if you screw up.
Hey, he's still on payroll.
He's an emotional guy. I think we make too much of it.
He's still on payroll. Hey, I say you bring him on the bench and he can scream at them from there.
I'm going to start yelling at you guys more on this podcast if I don't like your takes.
I deserve it.
Do it.
Sloppy ad read. I'm just going to be fucking screaming at you.
I like that.
You throw a water bottle?
Yeah. That's how you know you care, man. And you're chucking shit at each other.
Yeah, it's understandable. Right? It's emotion. It's passion.
Of course. Of course. I still say that, hey, Mike Smith's still on the payroll. Get him to come yell at the boys every now and then.
Just, you know, sit in the dressing room.
Yeah, fuck yeah.
Pump him up.
Put him right behind the net.
He just stands by Woody. And when Woody just gives him a tap on the shoulder and he knows it's time for him to go in and yell at the crew.
Yeah.
I like it.
It's got to put that mask on first, though, I think.
Oh, yeah.
Something about that voice behind the wire, the bars there. It's
100%.
Increases it.
No haircuts either, bro.
Well, you can go back to what he had. His draft care.
Oh, yeah. He looked great. Bring back the puka shells.
Yeah.
Come on. Whew. Spicy. All right, boys. Any final thoughts before the road trip? We got two games in between the next episode. Final thoughts, Tyler?
I just want to go off script for 1 second and just say a shout out. And I don't honestly even know how to say it properly, but a listener of the show, Ash Storoshenko, I mentioned her a couple weeks ago as my hot performer, had to make a terrible decision this week to end her life herself. And so I just wanted to give a huge shout out to the Storoshenko family from all of us. Thank you very much for tuning in as long as you did, Ash, and all the best.
That will just, we'll wrap up the episode and we'll talk to you on Friday.
Thanks for listening to Oilers Nation Radio, delivered by DoorDash. Don't forget to hit the subscribe button and give us a follow on Twitter and Instagram.
Small details are big surfaces. Tight corners are odd shapes. Flat, rounded, textured, or tall. Whatever your next project, there's a spray paint pattern that's just right. Because Rust-Oleum's new Custom Spray 5-in-1 gives you control with 5 different spray patterns. So you can tackle nooks, crannies, edges, and curves without worrying about drips, runs, uneven coverage, or anything else. Custom Spray 5-in-1. Only from Rust-Oleum.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedy-ad-free. That's amazon.com/comedy-ad-free to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.